yat, which, tat, that. Bhagavati, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ashesha Jiva Nikayanam, of unlimited numbers of living entities. Jiva Bhutatma Bhute, Jiva Bhutatma Bhute, who is the life and the super soul. Parama Atmani, the supreme regulator. Vasudeve, Lord Vasudeva, Krishna. Tirthatme, Tirthatame, who is the best of all places of pilgrimage. Patre, the most worthy recipient. Upapanne, having approached. Paraya, by the topmost. Shraddhaya, faith. Parama Adhara, with great respect. Samahita Manasa, with an attentive mind. Sampratipaditasya, which was given. Sakshat, directly. Apavarga Dvarasya, the gate of liberation. Yat, which. Bila Nilaya, of Bila Swarga, the imitation heavenly planets. Aishwaryam, the opulence. Translation. Mightier King, Bali Maharaj donated all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamana Deva. But one should certainly not conclude that he achieved his great worldly opulence in Bilaswarga as a result of his charitable disposition. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of life for all living entities, lives within everyone as the friendly super soul, and under his direction, a living entity enjoys or suffers in this material world. Greatly appreciating the transcendental qualities of the Lord, Bali Maharaj offered everything at his lotus feet. His purpose, however, was not to gain anything material, but to become a pure devotee. For a pure devotee, the door of liberation is automatically open. One should not think that Bali Maharaj was given so much material opulence merely because of his charity. When one becomes a pure devotee in love, he may also be blessed with a good material position by the will of the Supreme Lord. However, one should not mistakenly think that the material opulence of a devotee is the result of his devotional service. The real result of devotional service is the awakening of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which continues under all circumstances. Text 20. Yasya havavakshuta patana prakshalandishu vivasha shakrin nama bhigran purusha karma bandhanam anjasa vidunoti asya haiva pratibandhanam mumukshavo nyataivo palabhante. Word by word translation. Yasya, of whom? Havava, indeed. Kshuta, when in hunger. Patana, falling down. Prakshalana adishu, stumbling and so on. Vivashaha, being helpless. Sakrit, once. Nama abhigrinan, chanting the holy name of the Lord. Purushaha, a person. Karma bandhanam, the bondage of fruitive activity. Anjasa, completely. Vidunoti, washes away. Yasya, of which. Ha, certainly. Eva, in this way, Pratibhadhanam, Pratibhadhanam, the repulsion, Mumukshavaha, persons desiring liberation, Anyata, otherwise, Eva, certainly, Upalabhante, are trying to realize. Translation. If one who is embarrassed by hunger or who falls down or stumbles chants the holy name of the Lord even once, willingly or unwillingly, he is immediately freed from the reactions of his past deeds. Karmis, entangled in material activities, face many difficulties in the practice of mystic yoga and other endeavors to achieve that same freedom. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is not a fact that one has to offer his material possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be liberated before he can engage in devotional service. A devotee automatically attains liberation without separate endeavors. Bali Maharaj did not get back all his material possessions merely because of his charity to the Lord. One who becomes a devotee, free from material desires and motives, regards all opportunities, both material and spiritual, as benedictions from the Lord. And in this way, his service to the Lord is never hampered. Bhukti, material enjoyment, and mukti, liberation, are only byproducts of devotional service. A devotee need not work separately to attain mukti. Srila Bilva Mangal Thakur said, Mukti hi swayam mukti lanjita li, mukti linj litanjalihi sevate sman. A pure devotee of the Lord does not have to endeavor separately for mukti because mukti is always ready to serve him. In this regard, Chaitanya Charitamrita Anchalila 3.177 and 188 describes Haridas Thakur's confirmation of the effects of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Keha bale namahate hoy papakhaya, keha bale namahate jiver mukhaya. Some say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is freed from all reactions of sinful life. And others say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one attains liberation from material bondage. Hari das kahe na na mere dui phala noy na mera phala krishna pade premata upajay. Hari das Thakur, however, said that the desired result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is not that one is liberated from material bondage or freed from the reactions of sinful life. The actual result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is that one awakens his dormant Krishna consciousness, his loving service to the Lord. Anusangika phala namir mukti papanash tahar drishtanta yeche suryera prakash. Haridas Thakur said that liberation and freedom from the reactions of sinful activities are only byproducts of chanting of the holy name of the Lord. If one chants the holy name of the Lord purely, he attains the platform of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, Haridas Thakur gave an example comparing the power of the holy name to sunshine. Yei shloker arthakara panditera gana saba kahe tumi kaha artha vivarana. He placed the verse before all the learned scholars present, but the learned scholars asked him to state the purport of the verse. Haridas kahe na yache surya ra uday uday na hoyte arambhe tamir hoy khoy. Haridas Thakur said that as the sun begins to rise, it dissipates the darkness of night even before the sunshine is visible. Chaura preta rakshasadir bhaya hoy nash uday hoyle dharma karma adi prakash. Before the sunshine even takes place, the light of dawn destroys the fear of dangers of the night, such as disturbances by thieves, ghosts, and rakshasas. And when the sunshine actually appears, one engages in his duties. Achinamodaya Rambe Papa Adikai Udai Kaile Krishna Pade Hai Premodai. Similarly, even before one's chanting of the holy name is pure, one is freed from all sinful reactions. And when he chants purely, he becomes a lover of Krishna. Mukti tuccha phala hoy nama bhasa hoyte ye mukti bhakta nalaye se Krishna chadite. A devotee never accepts mukti, even if Krishna offers it. Mukti, freedom from all sinful reactions, is obtained even by nama bhasa, or a glimpse of the light of the holy name before its full light is perfectly visible. The Namabhasa stage is between that of Nama Aparad, or chanting of the holy name with offenses, and pure chanting. There are three stages in chanting the holy name of the Lord. In the first stage, one commits 10 kinds of offenses while chanting. In the next stage, Namabhasa, the offenses have almost stopped, and one is coming to the platform of pure chanting. In the third stage, when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses, his dormant love for Krishna is immediately awakened. This is the perfection. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Jaya Pataka Swamiti Namne Nama Acharya Padaya Nitarkaka Pradayane Gaurakata Dhamadaya Nagara Kramatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Good morning everybody. Did you all finish your rounds today? Talking about chanting the holy names of the Lord. When I noticed that text 19 and text 20 was something that I was supposed to speak of, I spoke with a very good friend of mine, and one of the things she said was, how sincere we are in the path of Krishna consciousness is determined when we pick up our bead bag, how we chant our rounds, how much focus we have. We can make a self-analysis, self-study. Then I thought, actually I have to listen to a class regarding this. I cannot really give a class on this. So basically I'm going to preach to myself, and you would be hearing that today. So I asked myself, why did you come to Krishna consciousness? Why have you taken up this process of Hare Krishna movement? In this material ocean of birth and death, everybody is trying to struggle. So different people take up to the process of bhakti for different reasons. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi. Reasons may be different. Somebody may come with material motivation, somebody else is coming for the motivation of mukti, as mentioned in this verse. Regardless of what motivation we come, I thought coming into Krishna consciousness is like jumping on a boat to cross over this material ocean. And the boatman is Krishna. So when we jump in, when we get on board with a lot of baggage. So many material desires, so many anarthas. But there's one good thing. We have to appreciate ourselves, that we have taken shelter of Srila Prabhupada, of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And that is, we have given up so many things. When I see the audience, I'm thinking, there's devotees from different continents, given up your country and come here all the way to a different country. We give up our relatives' association. We give up the dressing style and the fashion. We even give up hairstyle. We change and make a shika. We wear saris. We wear tilak. We make a big switch. We move from being attached to all these external fashion to being in the eternal fashion. I'm not saying we don't do fashion anymore. We do a better fashion. While doing all this, having given up all this, I was asking myself, why is it so difficult for you to chant the holy name with focus, with sincerity? Why? What is stopping you? You have given up so many things. So some of the thoughts popped up. One of the first things was, well, you know, so many samskaras, so many anarthas that I'm carrying from different lifetimes. It's not easy, you know. Even to be in a movement, in an organization like ISKCON, we try very hard to fit in. So that takes away a lot of energy. It's just like on the computer. How many of you use computer here? It's like a computer. There's the internal memory storage. It can only hold a certain amount of memory. So depending on what is on our mind, the attention and focus towards the holy name will be matching to that storage. So one of the things I start to question myself is, okay, the anarthas. And then suddenly I thought, wow, I cannot give that excuse. A couple of weeks ago, His Holiness Jayapatak Maharaj, he called for an Ishtagoshti of the Grihasthas in Mayapur, in the Namahatta building. How many of you happened to be there? Not many. And after he gave a short speech, one lady asked a question. Maharaj was addressing the point that in Grihastha life it is very important to keep Krishna in the center, to do our Shravanam and Kirtanam and Bhagavat Shravan, very important, but we are not finding time. So he asked, how many of the Grihasthas are finding it difficult? So one Mataji asked this question, anonymous, she wrote a question, she didn't write the name. How to overcome these anarthas, Guru Maharaj? How can I overcome? This lust is taking away so much of my energy. It's draining me. I'm unable to focus on Krishna consciousness. Please tell me. I was very, very attentive to hear what Jayapatak Maharaj was going to say. And I already start to calculate, okay, he's going to say how to overcome lust. And his response was, that is not our business. Our business is not to control these anarthas. I was very surprised. Then he said, our business is to develop the taste for Krishna consciousness. Develop a taste for the holy name. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the second chapter, text 59, Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavajyam rasopyasya paradvishva nivartate. Translation. Though the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, the taste for sense object remains. But seizing such engagements, by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. And Prabhupada says, unless one is transcendentally situated, it is not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. The process of restriction from sense enjoyment by rules and regulations is something like restricting a diseased person from certain types of eatables. The patient, however, neither likes such restrictions nor loses his tastes for such eatables. And Prabhupada continues to say how even by restricting our senses, by the spiritual processes of Ashtanga Yoga, Yama, Niyama, it is not possible. But Prabhupada says, one who has tasted the beauty of Krishna, for him advancement becomes very easy. holy names, the mantras, chanting of Krishna's glories and qualities. I have a confession to make. I grew up with a lot of mantras. My father, he would chant a mantra before opening his eyes when he wakes up. Karagrevasati Lakshmi Karamadhye Saraswati Karamuletu Govinda Prabhate Karadarshanam. Then only he'll open his eyes. Then when he gets up, he also starts with other mantras. Kaushalya Supraja Rama Purva Sandhya Pravartate Uttishta Narsadhulya Kattavyam Daiva Manikam Uttishto Uttishta Govinda Uttishta Garudadvaja Uttishta Kamala Kanta Trailokyam Mangalam Kuru. This is the everyday ritual of my father. So we grew up seeing that. As soon as we start our day, we start getting dressed up. Did you chant the mantras to get dressed up? And we were about to pack our food. Did you do the prasadam prayers? We were about to get on the bus. Did you do the mantra to start a journey? Actually, that is one of my favorite prayers that I had some taste or liking towards. And it goes something like this. Makkaladi suvaga Madadiyollakkarayinniruvaga Gaja haya pallakki mudalada vahana veridaga Bikkuvaga aakalisutali Devakeetanayana nenedalli Narasikkanu yamadutarige avavalli nodidaru. Basically the verse says, whatever activity you may be involved in, maybe you are getting on a horse or an elephant or a carriage carried by four different people, or you are maybe trying to console a child, crying child. You may be spending your romantic moments with your partner, whatever it may be, unless and until you remember Devaki Nandana, Lord Krishna's holy name, none of these activities will be fruitful. And if you remember them, Narasikkanu Yamadutarige, the same 19th verse, actually in the 18th verse, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, verse 3.177, it is said that there will be no fear of hell when we chant the holy names. But the whole purport is leading us to another level here actually. It is leading us to not just chant the holy names due to fear of crossing the material ocean, but it is to get something even more than that. To treasure the holy name. There is this beautiful song from South India and it says, Rama Nama Ratna Hara Dorakitu Yenake Purva Punyada Palake. I got this beautiful garland made of precious metals and gemstones called Rama Nama. And how did I get it? I got it because of my great good fortune from my previous lifetimes. Some great good fortune that was given to me by other devotees. This garland is made from emerald called Krishna. And this has pearls bedecked in it called Vamana. And the whole song goes to describe every single avatar of Krishna in comparison to a precious gemstone. Very rasic song. Matsya nembo, matsya. Like just matsya is like that beautiful emerald shining. And mohanada chinna means the gold which is incomparable. Its value is incomparable. And I have got that pendant in my neck. I'm wearing it. Now it's up to me how I'm going to treasure it. How we treasure the holy name according to our consciousness. By knowledge, we can actually understand the glories of the holy name. And to be able to get knowledge about the holy name, we have to chant the holy name. By chanting the holy name, knowledge is revealed. So I thought this interconnection between chanting the holy name and at the same time cultivating knowledge about Krishna can be compared to an example of when we fall in love with somebody, or we want to fall in love with somebody, we try to figure out as much as possible about them. So our goal here is to fall in love with the holy name. So we have to know as much as possible. And one of the examples was Parikshit Maharaj. He had 7 days left. And he was asking about the details of the structure of the universe. It is very difficult for us to comprehend that. This is because he's in love with the holy name. So he wants to know everything that is connected to the holy name. There's a shloka. Kayena vacha manasendriyaiva buddhyatmanava prakrite swabhavat karomi adyat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayami. Kayena, all the duties that we perform. Vacha, everything we speak. Manasendriyaiva, what is in our heart? What is that core desire in our heart? Buddhyatmanava, what is running in our mind? What are we plotting towards today? All these things, mind, intelligence, our heart, body, needs to be dedicated in the service of the Lord. But it is not very easy. Even kirtan, because here they have described the 3 stages of chanting the holy name. In the namabhasa stage, or in general, like every day, when we try to chant the holy names, at least me, I don't know others, but when I go into the kirtan, what is my consciousness? There are different levels. Oh, who is singing? Do I like or not? Who is attending? How they are dressed? I mean, if you really care, go and follow the mind where it can go. Who is here? What are they wearing? What are they thinking? What happened? You know, as soon as we see something, kayena, kaya, vacha, manasa, all these things, whatever is there gets triggered. Then even the next stage, even in kirtan, we may even think, I want to enjoy it. That's another, at least for me, I thought that even that shouldn't be the motivation. Like I was talking about the memory drive. If we check the memory drive to see or to analyze, when we are in the when I am in the temple, I'm looking at the deities. If I really see, okay, what is, where is my body, where is my mind, where is my heart, what am I asking the Lord? If we can do this every day, I'm planning to do it. So I can kind of, after a month, after a year, see, have I improved or is it still affecting me? Because like I said, when we come in the association of devotees, depending on different problems that we are going through, we may see, perceive devotees or their problems or their way of approaching that way. My friend Sharadiya yesterday, she shared me a Facebook quote. I don't know the reference, I need it from you. Beautiful quote of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, it does not matter whether what activity you're most interested in. I'm paraphrasing it. The point is, whatever you do should rekindle that lost relationship or that lost interest towards the Supreme Lord. In other words, what the Shastra says, and from any of the 9 devotional processes, we can attain bhakti. So when I talk about, when I enter among the devotees, sometimes I tend to feel very uncomfortable with somebody else having a priority to do something else, maybe cooking or deity worship or cow protection, or somebody may be a lot into bhajan, somebody may be too much, lot into shastras, and I may feel Well, you know, that's not the real thing. What I am doing is the real thing. What I am doing is the topmost. Everything else is only a support. So I get very disturbed by this mentality that I carry. So if we can actually understand this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, the point is, whatever helps you, get the taste. If it is kirtan, be it kirtan. If it is deity worship, be it deity worship. Sometimes we may tend to discourage others by saying, ah, what you're doing, all these things, this is not important. The main thing is, I don't want to name any particular process of devotional service, but we tend to have a taste for a particular devotional process, and we may expect that everybody should do the same. And we may belittle somebody. In that way we perform the offense, we may commit an offense. But rather we can encourage others by telling them, oh, this is very nice. Do it more so you can gain a taste. Because somebody may gain taste by studying scriptures, learning the verses, by doing the Shastra Chakshush. By learning the verses, you learn to see the world through the Shastra. Through these verses you relate to the world. We see Krishna in everything. Because in the spiritual world, ultimately, it's not one of the devotional processes, but every step there is a dance, and every word there is a song. So that's actually the mentality it will help if we create that mentality. And for problems, I know human beings, we're generally attracted to problems. And I'll give you one story. There was a great Vaishnavacharya. He was Vyasatirtha, if you go in the Bhagavad Gita Sampradaya, Vyasatirtha's contemporary Vadi Raja. And he used to every day do his meditation and he would see Krishna. He used to compose beautiful songs on Krishna. And one day he composed a song and he ended the song with the words, Krishna. He closed the palm leaf, probably. And then he went to his meditation, went back to meditation. So in his meditation, he had a problem. He couldn't see Krishna that day. He was not able to focus. It was becoming very difficult. Then he kept praying, why, my dear Krishna, why am I not able to see you? Please, what have I done? What is the mistake? Many days went by like this and he struggled very much that he couldn't focus. Then one day, Krishna mercifully appeared to him in his dream and he told him, you do not understand. Krishna was very upset with his face like this. Don't you understand? You wrote only Krishna. What do you think? You think I'm a sannyasi like you? Because Vadi Raja was a sannyasi. You only wrote Krishna? Not fair. You forgot Shri. You're leaving me alone. Without my eternal consort. What kind of a song is this? That's why I'm upset and I'm not appearing to you in your meditation. I mean, if we're talking about problems, this should be our problem. With the process that we have been given with. Then immediately, Vadi Raja realized and he corrected the name and he made it Shri Krishna. And therefore we can understand that if we want to invoke Krishna, we have to invoke Srimati Radharani as well. Shri is Srimati Radharani. And similarly, if we want the mercy of Srimati Radharani, we have to invoke Krishna as well. Therefore, we say Hare Krishna. Therefore, it is recommended that we chant Radharani's name along with Krishna's name. That's when they hear us. Okay. I'll tell you one more story of a very great devotee. This is in Andhra Pradesh, in South India. Gopanna. Gopanna was a very, very ardent devotee of Lord Ram. How many of you have heard about him? He was later known as Ramadasa. He was such a great devotee. He used to compose many beautiful songs. And his uncles, he had two uncles, who worked as ministers in the court of Sultan Tana Shah. These two uncles got Gopanna a job as a Tasildar. Tasildar basically is a tax collector, revenue tax collector, for there, he was near Golconda. This is near Warangal in Andhra Pradesh. Right now there's Warangal district, so there, Golconda. So he served there as a tax collector, and he was such a great devotee that one time he went to Bhadrachalam, and in Bhadrachalam there are self-manifested deities of Lord Ram, Sita Devi sitting on his lap, and Lakshman standing right next to him. It's a deity of made of stone. So when this devotee went to visit this temple, it was in a very, very bad condition. There was no proper shelter. So he decided that he wanted to build a temple for Lord Ram. So what he did, he started to personally collect donations from all the villages. And he started building a temple for Lord Ram. And at a point that it was about to finish, there was still 6 lakh rupees. Actually, back then was in coins, silver coins. They still needed it, and he didn't have. And all the villagers also had given their part of charity. So the villagers told him, why don't you do this, Gopanna? Please use the revenue that you've collected for the government. And as soon as we harvest our crops and we gain the profit, we will give you the money. In this way, you can pay back to the government. So what Gopanna did, he took the money, he completed the temple. There was only one thing left. The Sudarshan Chakra on top of the temple was not yet being placed. So he was very disturbed by that, and he went to sleep thinking, how will I be able to finish that? Where will I be able to find the Sudarshan Chakra? In the dream, the Lord appeared and told him, please go and take bath in the river, the holy river. And he went to take bath in the holy river in the morning, and as he was taking bath, something hit him. And it was a huge Sudarshan Chakra that he found in the river. So he brought this Sudarshan Chakra and he placed it on the temple. Right after this, on the day of the temple opening, Ramadasa, Gopanna, he had one son. And that son, somehow or another, was near this big pot which was being cooked for prasadam for the devotees. He fell into it, the burning pot, and he died. And all the devotees started to wonder, this devotee, so advanced, he's on the stage of prema, why has he got this difficulty? And then the dead body of the son is lying down in front of the temple. The temple opening is still not being done. Everybody is worried. What does Ramadas do? He starts to compose a song. And he says, Ye Tiruganano Daya Chuchadavo Inavam Sotamarama. You're called the savior of the fallen. You're called somebody who protects his devotees. My dear Lord, I have no other shelter but you. Who else is going to protect me other than you? And he says, Krura karma molo neraka chesiti neramulentatu Rama. It's Telugu, the language called Telugu. So he starts to lament, not about his misfortune. He laments in the mood for the Lord. He says, what kind of a patita pavan are you? You're not able to protect your devotee. He's actually in this mode of asking the Lord, what will people say about you? I am not concerned about me. I'm concerned about your reputation. So he was a particular character, you know. Ramadasa is such a character. And in Bhadrachalam, on the day of temple inauguration, as he's singing this song, all the devotees see a shadow of something very huge flying over the temple. And the shadow has fallen on this dead body of the boy. And the boy comes back alive, hale and healthy. And everybody is surprised. And then it is said that it was Panchamukha Hanuman who actually flew over the temple. He said, I cannot listen to my Lord being chastised like this. So he saved this boy. Actually, the miseries of Ramadasa, miseries in our eyes, did not end there. Right after the construction of the temple, the Varis started visiting, and later on, the king arrested Ramadasa for using the revenue collected on behalf of the government to build this temple of Ram. Besides the fact that this Muslim king was not very happy that a temple was being built, he was very upset. Ramadasa was in prison for 12 years. And he composed many such beautiful songs, which actually the Vaishnavacharyas say they are called Ninda Stuti. Because there is a glorification of the Lord, and then there is Ninda. Ninda is like criticism with love. So these are verses he composed asking the Lord, telling the Lord what he has done. For example, once he asked the Lord, he's being beaten. His blood is oozing out from his skin. There have been holes trying to, the servants are trying to insert wires in his skin and connecting it to a stone so he can pull it. He was tortured very badly. So in this moment, he's remembering his services. And he's saying, Suttu prakaramulu sumpuko kattisti Ramachandra. O Lord Ram, are you giving me this blessing because I built you this huge compound around your temple? Sitammaku cheistini chintaku padakamu Ramachandra. A padakani ki batti padinelu moharilu Ramachandra. He's saying, for Sita Devi, I got a golden pendant made, bedecked with emeralds. And it costed me 60,000 of the coins. And then he continues, I made a pendant of pearls that costed me 100,000, and so on. And one more thing that happened in the jail was, he was being given every day chapati, flour mixed with 80% salt and 20% flour. So chapati was being made with this and being given to him every day to eat. And all the servants would watch, they wanted to enjoy the suffering of this devotee. So they will come near his cell to watch him. And he will take the chapati, he will eat, and then he will go into ecstasy. Yento ruchi, yento ruchi, yento ruchi ra. Wow, what a taste, what a taste, what a wonderful taste. O Ramani namam ento ruchi ra. So he got into ecstasy about the taste. Just because of the salt was excess, he immediately remembered the taste of the holy name. So he started to sing, what a taste, what a taste. O Rama. And all the servants, they actually, for a beginning they were surprised, but actually his music was so good, so melodious, even the servants start to dance to his music. Even they started to sing because the song was so easy to catch. After 12 years, actually I get very upset also hearing that the Lord allowed this devotee to suffer like this for 12 years. Why? But after 12 years, something miraculous again happened. The king, Tana Shaha, was sleeping with his Begum, his queen. Suddenly, two people came inside his quarters and called him, Sultan Tana Shaha, Sultan Tana Shaha. And immediately the Sultan came and he looked at these effulgent, beautiful looking, dressed in soldier clothes, two people. Who are you? Who allowed you inside my quarters? I am Ramoji, I am Lakshmanoji. We have come here to pay back the money that Ramadasa took to build the temple. Because the king wanted Ramadasa to pay back 6 lakhs of silver coins, only then would he release him. So this Ramoji and Lakshmanoji come there and tell the king, here it is. Lakshman with his angry face as soon as Sultan Shah says, "Oh, I didn't know Ramadasa even had these two little servants to assist him." So Lakshman gets very angry. He wants to punch the king on the face. And Rama says, "No, no, please relax. Please give him the gold coins." So in return to 6 lakh of silver coins that was being spent, Rama and Lakshman gave, Ramoji and Lakshmanoji gave 6 lakh of gold coins, every coin with Rama and Lakshmana printed on it. Then the next day morning, Ramadasa hears somebody called Ramoji and Lakshmanoji came face to face with this Tanashaha, who was so actually cruel, gave darshan to them and not to me. He immediately becomes very upset. He's released from the jail, but it does not concern him anymore. He's very upset again with Lord Ram. "You gave darshan to this king and not to me. I'm going to die." And then it is revealed that this king was not an ordinary king. He was a devotee in his previous life who had taken a vow to finish 365 days of special puja. On the 364th day, he had assumed that he had finished the puja. He demanded the Lord to appear. When the Lord did not appear, he destroyed the deity into 100 pieces. And then the Lord appeared and told him, "You have done a big offense. But because you have done 364 days, although due to your offense you will be born as a Muslim king, not being able to chant the holy name, not being able to associate with the Lord, you will have personal darshan of Sri Ram himself because of the 364 days of the puja." Then Ramadas, to conclude his story, he pays his respects to the king and he goes away, and the king realizes what he has done. Then later on it is revealed that the king's brother-in-law actually put him, Ramadasa, into all the trouble because he was in charge of the Golconda fort. So later on it is revealed that the king was not actually bad because he was a devotee. And Ramadasa composes more and more songs about the Lord in this mood. And one day he tells his wife, every day he tells his wife, "Oh, you see Shabari, oh, you see Sita Devi there, you see Lakshman, he's trying to draw the Lakshmana Rekha to Sita and telling her not to go." So every day he's in some ecstasy. So one day he tells the wife, "Oh, look, the plane from Vaikuntha has come to take me." And the wife, thinking one of these ecstasies, she says, okay, you board the airplane, I'll follow you later." But that particular day, the Lord really came and took Ramadasa. Whereas the wife, because she said, "I'll come later," she saw him flying away and she couldn't accompany him. But she also did a lot of service in glorifying Bhadrachalam and singing these songs and giving bhakti to people. So this story actually shows the great example that Chaitanya Charitamrita is talking about. It's not just to relieve material miseries. It is to develop our eternal relationship with the Lord, to rekindle that faith and to be able to experience this rasa. Because Krishna is, after all, Rasa Raj. He likes variety. He likes different tastes. So if you're angry, please be angry with Krishna, not with his devotees. So thank you very much. If there are any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, you said that that devotee, he just chanted Krishna without the Shri and Vijay Thwajya. So the Lord did not like that. So he's saying, why you left Shri? I'm just asking in general, like, how can we reconcile, like, Prabhupada? Of course, many places he wrote Lord, Lord Shri Krishna, Shri Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita. Okay. So, but at many places we hear lectures, Prabhupada just says Krishna. You know? Is my question okay? Prabhupada says just Krishna, yeah?
So, your question is regarding what I mentioned, that Vadiraja Tirtha wrote only Krishna and not Shri Krishna, and you're asking about what about Srila Prabhupada often quoting just Krishna without Shri Krishna. Is that your question? Okay. First of all, we have to understand the essence that it's all about the rasa. It's about your mood, it's about relationship. And if I know of any human being that was more into Radha Krishna than anyone else, is Srila Prabhupada. So the point is the mood. Prabhupada, when he says Krishna, he doesn't have to always say Shri Krishna or Radha Krishna. But in this particular example that I gave you, this was a composition that he made, which is still chanted today, which is 700, 800 years later. So this is a song which is like writing in a scripture. So the mood remains that it's only Krishna. It's the vibration, it's the energy. Krishna is comfortable only with Srimati Radharani. You know, he's like the office Krishna elsewhere. In fact, there is even a quote that I heard in a class, even Kurukshetra, Krishna is thinking of Srimati Radharani. That's Krishna. So it's more about the mood rather than the language, if you know what I mean. But when you see some devotee and you say, you don't say Krishna Prabhu, you say Hare Krishna Prabhu. And Hare is that invocation of the feminine of Srimati Radharani. So, okay. Yes, Prabhu.
First of all, thank you very much for singing such a nice song from South India. First of all, thank you very much for speaking such a nice song from South India. It was really relishable. And one thing which I noticed that so like so much tolerance, that the devotee was so much tolerant that 12 years and his son also died, but he let us say he was even complaining but out of love. So how to get that tolerance, like to bring the tolerance in a life?
Thank you. Very good question. Narayana para sarve nakutaschana bipeti swargapa varga narakeshu apitulyartha darshina. Srimad Bhagavatam says that a devotee of Narayana, of Krishna, for him heaven or hell is the same, because he is always constantly engaging in the loving thoughts of the Supreme Lord. So the point is, the taste does not remove difficulties, as sometimes in the neophyte stage we may think so. When we preach to the karmis about Krishna consciousness, sometimes we may feel tempted, or we may feel to encourage them by telling them, please take up to Krishna consciousness, it will solve all your problems. That is true, but there is a clause. Practicing bhakti does not give good karma. It does remove bad karma, but it also does remove good karma. I mean, that's the truth. If you didn't know, and it's a surprise, sorry, but that's the truth. So the point is, what Prabhupada is saying here in the purport, one who becomes a devotee free from material desires and motives regards all opportunities, both material and spiritual, as benedictions from the Lord. And in this way, his service to the Lord is never hampered. So the point is, again, if we develop the taste, even that, even a roti made of 80% salt and 20% of wheat starts to taste nice. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously it doesn't miraculously change, and the devotee still tastes the salt, excess salt, but due to his consciousness, it becomes... Another story I want to tell you about the same devotee, Vadiraja, was... One time, there were only two people who went up the Tirupati hill, Tirupati Darshan uphill, without walking on the feet, but rather on the knees, because they considered it offensive to walk with the feet. So there were two devotees. One was our Parampara Acharya Vyasatirtha, who comes in the disciplic succession, and his contemporary and was Vadiraja Tirtha. So when Vadiraja Tirtha, one time he walked up all the way on his knees, when he arrived there he couldn't have darshan. The doors were closed and there was Ratotsava, basically is the procession, chariot procession was going on, and the small deities were out, they were decorating the chariots, and he couldn't have darshan and he had to go back. He became very upset. See, again, I mean, great devotee, no darshan of the Lord. The point is how they react and how the reaction affects the Lord. See, we move to a different degree. First degree, Krishna is like, okay, he's a devotee, he's chanting, very nice. But when you come to another level like this devotee, what he did, he took a paper, or I don't know what he found, paper or the leaf, and he basically wrote a verse in Sanskrit, and he said, you want me only when you want me to defeat the Mayavadis. When I come to have your darshan, you don't give me darshan. He composed a beautiful verse in this mood and he stuck it to the chariot and he left. And the custom is that every time, unless and until all the devotees involved there have been fulfilled and satisfied and all their desires have been fulfilled, the chariot will not move. It will not just move because the Lord is in that mood of, Balaji's mood is fulfilling the desires of the devotees. So the chariot did not move. And they were really scratching their head and thinking, how do we solve this? Why the chariot is not moving? And then they found this knot. And then one of the pujari got, I don't know how to explain this, but it's a very sensitive thing. There is this thing called, I don't know in English, the Lord comes on a special devotee. I don't know if you're familiar, if you're Indian, South Indian, you will know. So some great devotee is possessed by the Lord. There's a story. And then it's spoken that this particular devotee came and he couldn't have my darshan and he has to come back and have my darshan, only then I will move. Okay, so anyway, why I'm quoting this story is again to say how a devotee deals with difficulty. How a devotee takes the test of the Lord. The Lord is always testing us. He's always, if you heard the lecture of Gaur Govinda Maharaj on his appearance day, he spoke about how Krishna is very crooked. In fact, he has the monopoly of crookedness and he doesn't like crookedness in a devotee because he's a master of it. So the point is, he has crooked ways of dealing with the devotee. He has so many plans and our plans is watered down with his plans. So once we develop the taste, even a difficult circumstance becomes something beautiful, very rasic. And if we do not use crookedness, we do not manipulate, and if we are sincere, then the Lord himself has to the Lord himself has to prove to you that he loves you. I mean, does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes, the point is, if we develop taste, then it does not matter what is the difficulty.
So next question, how to develop taste, if in short you can...
Yeah, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, whatever process gives you that taste, you will know that. What is that when you, maybe when you read for me, for example, when I read verses, all the verses that my father taught me, back then I was annoyed. I mean, honestly, I was super annoyed. Okay, enough with the verses. Because there was no relationship. What's the point? What's the point of all these verses? I mean, like, okay, before opening my book, I mean, did you chant Shuklam Bharataram Vishnum Shashivaradam Chaturbhujam Prasannavadanam Jaye Sarvavignopashantaye? I mean, verses, okay, you know, one point. So it's not really doing this, okay, going there to the kirtan, attending the class, lecture. The point is something that connects us with us. Makes us centered. We have to figure out what that is, because for everyone it's something different. And I want to not forget to mention that Bhaktivinoda Thakur also gave tips, remedies for the anarthas as well. He said for every anartha there's a particular pastime of Krishna that you can read that can relieve us of the anartha. So I'm not saying completely like encourage the anartha. The point is there should be a balance of seeing what gives us that taste. Sometimes you feel, no, some, maybe you're chanting japa or you're with some devotee discussing something and you feel that, wow, I mean, this is what I want, this is the taste. This is what I want to have all the time. So you have to do that activity more and more. But if somebody else wants to give a Shastric quote, reference, or conclusion to this point of how to develop taste. Also, I remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur does say that it is determined whether you're advancing in Krishna consciousness if your taste is developing. Only if it's increasing, you can know for sure that advancement is there. Otherwise, it means we have to change something, add something, clear out the memory. But with taste, it's easy to clear out the memory. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.